We have now come to the concluding talk of this assembly. What could cause our love for God to be divided? How can we cultivate wholehearted love for God? Please give your attention again to Brother David Walker as he concludes our assembly with the talk, Love Jehovah with Your Whole Heart.
Well, we've had a wonderful day here, brothers, at the Assembly Hall here in Onaway. It's been good to meet a number of you, too, during our break period. And I'd like to express appreciation to all of you brothers and sisters who have worked hard and have appeared on the program. We appreciate very much your contribution to the success of our convention. Now, wouldn't you agree with that, brothers? The faithful and discreet slave, of course, under the direction of Jehovah's Spirit and his son, the head of the congregation, prepares these programs, and of course, they're totally Bible-based. But of course, to arrange for it all, it comes back to the circuit, doesn't it? And we want to thank Brother Koivukoski for his hard work, him and his wife working in your midst in the traveling work, and for their hard work in rehearsing this program and making it such a beautiful success for us. Would you not agree with that, brothers? Now today, in connection with our big theme, what was that big theme again, brothers? I got to get my program out here and read it. It says, Love Jehovah with all your heart. All your heart has to be in our love for Jehovah. And what have we learned thus far, brothers? Early on in our program, we learned that our love must be shown. It's not just a fuzzy feeling. It's not theory. But our love must be practiced. 1 John 5 and 3. This is what the love of God means. So the scriptures tell us what it means. What does it mean? That we observe his commandments. And yet his commandments are not burdensome. So brothers, we need to observe, yes. Not just see or hear, but do what Jehovah God asks us to do. So that's a challenge for me, and it's a challenge for you because we're imperfect. We're aspiring to imitate Jehovah, the perfect God. Now, of course, the greatest example of wholehearted love for Jehovah was his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, was the chief agent and perfecter of our faith. And we're asked in the Bible to follow his steps closely. Just before Jesus Christ died on the torture stake, on the afternoon of Nisan 1433 CE, he said something. He said, it has been accomplished. That's recorded in John 19 and verse 30. Why could Jesus say that? What did he mean when he said to his Father, it has been accomplished? Well, it means that Jesus Christ, God's Son, did everything. Not some things. He did everything that he was sent to this earth to do. And why did he do it? Because he loved his Father with his whole heart. Speaking to his 11 faithful apostles, The night before, in that upper room in Jerusalem, the evening before he died, Jesus said, I love the Father. That's John 14:31. And he says, I am doing, notice, I am doing, not feeling. I am doing just as the Father has commanded me to do. Action. And then later on in his final prayer, John 17:4, what did he say in that prayer? To Jehovah, he says, I have glorified you on the earth. I've made you happy, Father. Why? He says, having finished the work you have given me to do. Jesus did work. Action. Yes, love moved Jesus to obey. Yes, Jesus' love and obedience was based on knowing Jehovah and knowing his Father's incomparable works. Jesus witnessed them. And brothers, when we think of Proverbs 8, verses 22 to 31, we find an inspired description of wisdom that's personified, and we understand that refers to Jesus Christ. Proverbs 8:22-31. Proverbs 8:22-23 says, Jehovah produced me as the beginning of his way, the earliest of his achievements of long ago. 23 says, from ancient times I was installed. From the start, from times earlier than the earth. And then in 8:30 he said, then I was beside him as a master worker. And I was the one, he was especially fond of me day by day. I rejoiced before him all the time. Jesus was a happy worker with his Father. Now, brothers, how do we know that this refers to Jesus and not just to wisdom personified? It's because the quality of wisdom was never produced. The quality of wisdom was never produced. It never began to be to exist because Jehovah has always existed and he has always been wise. God's Son, however, was the firstborn of all God's creation. He was produced, he was created, and he was the earliest of all of Jehovah's achievements. The Son existed before the earth and the heavens, as described here in Proverbs. And as the Word, God's own spokesman, he was the perfect expression of Jehovah's wisdom. So Jesus Christ, the chief agent and perfecter of our faith, set the example for you and I, dear brothers, in loving Jehovah with his whole heart. We want to do the best we can to imitate him. Jesus' example, therefore, teaches us that love for God is based on knowing Jehovah. And we know Jehovah through his work and his word. So there's a key point, brothers, from our assembly today. If we want to serve Jehovah to a greater degree with our whole heart, it means working at getting to know Jehovah better and better. And at our annual meeting, you probably read the summary of our annual meeting a few weeks ago. We're asked now to get to know Jesus Christ even better. Because if we do that, it'll enable us to imitate him as the chief agent and perfecter of our faith. We think of John 17:3. This means everlasting life. And we say, what's that? It says, they're coming to know you, the only true God, and of the one whom you sent forth, Jesus Christ. So brothers and sisters, the onus is on us to keep taking in knowledge of God and His Son. And one way of doing that is using our eyes and our ears to learn about Jehovah and His Son, and then in turn apply what we see and hear. It's good that we have Jehovah's standards written down in the Bible for us, and we appreciate how much they benefit us. You know, there's a beautiful passage in the 119th Psalm that shows the value of Jehovah's standards. It's worth reading. I'm going to read it to you. Starting at 97. How I do love your law, the psalmist said. He said, I ponder over it all day long. So brothers and sisters, can we do more of that? We say to Jehovah with His word, the Bible now, I love your law, Jehovah. And brothers and sisters, I don't want to forget this point, but we think of the New World Translation of the Holy Scriptures, and now we're getting parts of the New World Translation with notes, one of them released at our annual meeting, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts. And what's special about this book? Well, it's the Holy Bible. It's more than paper and ink. It's inspired of God. But who produced the New World Translation? Jesus Christ's brothers. And soon, brothers, they're going to leave us. We're not going to see them anymore. But could anyone give you a better gift before they leave? It's like the anointed saying to us, we love you, the other sheep. We want to give you a gift that we produced under the direction of our Father's Holy Spirit. It's a precious thing. So we want to use that gift. If we say to somebody, thank you very much for the lovely gift you gave me, then you stick it in the bottom drawer. Is that much appreciation? You find it once in a while when you're doing some home cleaning. Oh, that's what they gave me. That's right. That old gift there. No, if you appreciate a gift that someone gives you, you're going to use it. You appreciate it. So the psalmist goes on to say, 119:98, your commandments make me wiser than my enemies. Now why is that? Because it is with me forever. I have more insight than all my teachers. Why? Because I ponder over your reminders. I act with more understanding than older men. Why is that? Because I observe your orders. I refuse to walk on any evil path so that I may keep your word. I do not turn aside from your judgments, for you have instructed me. How sweet your sayings are to my palate. So more so than honey to my mouth. By your orders, I act with understanding. That is why I hate every false path. So brothers, we love very much Jehovah's instructions to us. And it's interesting in connection with this, this point we're making about action to show that we love Jehovah and not just that we know Jehovah, that we act on what we know. We have the scripture in 1 John chapter 2 in part from verses 3 to 5. And the Bible says here, and by this we realize that we have come to know Him. So how would we know if someone has come to know Jehovah? It says, namely, if we continue observing His commandments. Isn't that a profound passage, brothers? Isn't that profound? So somebody says, I know God. Show me. It says, if that person continues observing His commandments, then that person has come to know Jehovah. So the converse would also be true. If I don't keep the commandments of God, do I know Jehovah? We know the answer. So brothers, as long as we live, and we hope that will be forever, we'll never stop learning and loving God. That's what Romans 11:33 says. Oh, the depth of God's riches and wisdom and knowledge, how unsearchable His judgments are, and beyond tracing out His ways are. We'll never get it all traced out, brothers. And isn't that wonderful to know? Wouldn't it be something if we said, okay, this is all there is to know, so I know it all now. We'd be a know-it-all. Do you like know-it-alls? No. We're always learning about Jehovah. And the more we learn, the more we obey, the more we love. Now, when we think of all that Jehovah has done for us, brothers, we have a very interesting question that's raised in the 116th Psalm and verse 12. Something for us to take home from this assembly. The scripture says, with what will I repay Jehovah for all the good He has done for me? Think of that. For all the good He's done for you and I. Brothers and sisters, with what will you and I repay Jehovah? It's a very profound question, isn't it? So we want to repay Jehovah with our wholehearted love. That's what our assembly has been all about. Wholehearted love means giving Jehovah exclusive devotion. Let's look at this thought here now in Exodus 34 and 14. Exodus 34 and 14. We're talking about giving Jehovah exclusive devotion. So this is how we love Jehovah with our whole heart, by giving Him exclusive devotion. So verse 14 says, you must not bow down to another god. We understand that. Why? For Jehovah is known for, what's He known for? Requiring exclusive devotion. Exclusive. Yes, He is a God who requires exclusive devotion. He repeats it. That was inspired by Jehovah. He repeats it. So Jehovah, that's what He told Moses to write down. So when you think of the word exclusive, what's that mean? Well, the dictionary says it means single. It means whole. And it means undivided. So we serve Jehovah with exclusive devotion, undivided devotion. How important that is. So, brothers, giving Jehovah the first place in our life is the key to having a happy life. But now, when we're thinking about that, serving Jehovah with exclusive devotion, we might ask, are there any situations in life, as we go through life, that could possibly start squeezing out our exclusive devotion from Jehovah? Yes, we're going to touch on four items that could squeeze out our exclusive devotion. The first one is a love of the world. We know the passage, 1 John 2:15 to 17. The Bible says, don't love the world or the things in the world. Why? It says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And we just read that Jehovah requires exclusive devotion, undivided. So if we were to love the world, and how does that show up? Well, it shows up in the desires of our flesh, the desires of our eyes, and the showy display of one's means of life. If that were the big thing in our life, then we would be crowding out exclusive devotion to Jehovah. What else is involved? What about love of riches? Luke 16:13. No servant can be a slave of two masters, the Bible says. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stick to the one and despise the other. The Bible says that you and I cannot be slaves of God, who requires exclusive devotion and riches. Can't. A third area, inappropriate self-love. We think of 2 Timothy 3:1-5, and there we talk about the conditions in the last days, critical times hard to deal with. And then the Bible discusses undesirable traits that we would see in people. One of them is in verse 2. He says men would be lovers of themselves. So you see, if we were a lover of self, improperly that is, that would squeeze out our exclusive devotion to Jehovah. And this verse, of course, 2 Timothy 3:2, is talking about an unhealthy love. It's proper for us to love ourselves to a proper degree. Husbands are told to love their wives as themselves, and our neighbor as ourself. That's proper. But in here in 2 Timothy 3:2, men who are lovers of themselves, this is an unnatural love, brothers. We don't want to be like that. It's a distorted, selfish love, because people who love themselves excessively think more of themselves than necessary. Their main interest in life is themselves. They care little about others. When things go wrong, they like to blame others. They don't want to accept responsibility. And those individuals are not happy people. A fourth area that could crowd out our love for Jehovah, that is our exclusive devotion for Jehovah, is to seek the glory of men. Prominent titles. And we think of the Pharisees when we think of that. Now we know that your brothers and sisters aren't like that, but it's part of our program. We're being warned, as it were. Remember Jehovah in the scripture this morning, in Deuteronomy, he says he's testing us to see whether we love him with our whole heart or not. Jehovah's testing us. So what did the Pharisees like? Well, the Bible tells us in Matthew 23 in part that they loved the most prominent place in the evening meals. They loved the front seats in the synagogue. They loved the greetings in the marketplace, and they loved to be called by names. I mean, good names, like rabbi, by men. Jehovah's people are not like that. We brothers and sisters are not like that. We want to serve Jehovah exclusively. So what was that first point now that we've just looked at, brothers and sisters? Wholehearted love means giving Jehovah exclusive devotion. What's a second way that we show Jehovah that we're serving him with our whole heart? Well, it means hating what is bad. And for this, we're going to turn over to the little Bible book of Amos. And just read the first part of Amos 5:15. The first part of Amos 5:15 says, hate what is bad and love what is good. How powerful that admonition is. So now, how are we going to find out what's good and bad, brothers? Well, we have to go back to this book, don't we? We have to go back to the Holy Scriptures. We're not going to learn what's good and bad from the world, because Isaiah 5:20 says, woe to those who say that good is bad and bad is good. They got it all mixed up. Those who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, and those who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. So can we get good standards out of this world, brothers, that's dominated by its God, the devil? Never. People's values are totally mixed up these days. No, we think of the 119th Psalm, verse 160, where the Bible says, the very essence of your word is truth, and all your righteous judgments endure forever. So Jehovah's standards are constant. We love them. So the Bible then, brothers, shows us how to hate what is bad and love what is right. And what does it tell us? What are we asked to avoid? Well, we think of the 101st Psalm, And verse 3, what's it tell us there? It says, I will not set anything worthless before my eyes. I hate the deeds of those who deviate from what is right. I will have nothing to do with them. I'm sure that every one of us here feel the same way. And what about the 119th Psalm, verse 37? There the Bible says, the psalmist asked Jehovah, turn my eyes away from looking at what is worthless. So what's that scripture infer? Brothers and sisters, as you and I go along the road that leads to life, we are going to see dirty things, wicked things, immoral things. But what the psalmist is asking there in the 119th Psalm, verse 37, he says, Jehovah, when I run into something like that, please give me the strength to turn aside from it. I don't want to look at it, but it just popped up. And isn't that true, brothers, on the internet these days? Maybe you want to buy a product and you want to get a review on it before you spend your money. And you pop it up, and what happens? Pop. Dirt comes up in that little box. Meet girls from this country. Meet girls in Edmonton. Pop, pop, pop. Right? You got to click them off. Like the psalmist said, turn my eyes away from looking at what is worthless. So we have a plague now, brothers, of pornography. We must turn away from that in order to serve Jehovah with a complete heart. And we don't keep company with unrepentant wrongdoers. That's something else we learn from Jehovah. Now, we hate what is bad, but we don't hate the person. We think of Jude 23. What's he say in Jude 23? He says, save them by snatching them out of the fire. So we try to help people. We hate the wrong, but we don't hate the people, because as we learned this morning, that's why we're preaching, because people can change. And Jehovah will forgive. And we share good news of good things with everyone we meet, don't we, brothers? We incite our brothers and sisters at our meetings to love and fine works. What's a third way, brothers, that we serve, we love Jehovah with our whole heart and show it? Well, it means slaving for Jehovah and for our brothers. Slaving for Jehovah. You know, back in Hebrew times, a Hebrew slave who loved his master could voluntarily enter into a permanent agreement with him. Imagine a slave could stay on. And so in Exodus 21, 5 and 6 we read, but if the slave should insist and say, I love my master, my wife, and my sons, I do not want to be set free. See, I like it here. His master must bring him before the true God. Then he will bring him up against the door or the doorpost, and his master will pierce his ear through with an awl. Ouch. And he will be his slave for life. Isn't that precious? So isn't that what we've done, brothers? Our love for Jehovah, what did it move us to do for the vast majority of us here? It's moved us to enter into a relationship with Jehovah God through dedication and baptism. We say to Jehovah, Jehovah, I want to slave for you forever. I don't want to leave your place. So just pierce my ear through, so to speak. Identify me as one of your people. I want to serve you forever. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11 supports this point about slaving for Jehovah and for our brothers. Let's go over there together, brothers, to Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. You're probably going fast with your tablets. And I'm using a Bible here. I got to turn the pages. I can't tap it. Romans 12 and 11. It says, notice, we're talking about loving Jehovah by slaving for him and our brothers. It says, be industrious. Notice the footnote, or diligent or zealous. Not lazy. Not lazy. Footnote, do not loiter at your business. And then he says, be aglow with the Spirit, slave for Jehovah. So what a beautiful passage that is. So that we have the word industrious, not lazy, aglow, so we're happy servants of Jehovah. And he says, slave for Jehovah. So that's hard work, brothers. Now, there's a wonderful illustration in the Bible that highlights this. It's in Luke chapter 17. You might want to read it all the way through, 7 to 10. Luke 17, 7 to 10. And here's the point. A person's been working all day in the field. And if you do some research on that, back in Hebrew times, that likely involved a 12-hour day out in the hot sun, working for a master. Here's a slave. He's worked 12 hours. So Jesus asks now, when he comes in from the field, dirty and tired, what will his master do? Will he feel sorry for him and say, come on, you've worked all day. Come on, sit right down here and have your supper. And the Bible says, no, he won't do that. The Bible says, the master's going to say to that slave who's already worked 12 hours, get something ready for me to have my evening meal. Put on an apron and serve me until I finish eating and drinking. And afterward, you can eat and drink. So what was the message here, brothers? The point of Jesus' parable is that a slave cannot please himself or concentrate on his own comforts. Wouldn't it be nice to come in from the field and sit in a soft chair and have a lovely meal? The master says, no, you serve me. You're a slave. And brothers, we're slaving for Jehovah. That's what we just read there in Romans 12:11, slave for Jehovah. So now, brothers, what's the application now for me and you? Well, here's the application. What challenges do you and I face today that cause us to slave? Here's one. Regularly studying God's Word and the publications of the faithful and discreet slave. Now, does that come easy for you? Now, some of us might think, you know, I'm out of school now and I never did like study. Does that describe you? Don't like study. But brothers, we're required to. We're required to be a student of God's Word and of the publications of the faithful and discreet slave. So there's one area where we need to slave. We have to put forth effort to do it. What about this now? We come home from a long day's work. We're very, very tired. And that's a meeting night. What are we going to do? What's Jehovah want us to do in harmony with that illustration in Luke 17? He wants us to dress up, put forth the effort, and go to that meeting. Because when we come home, we're going to feel refreshed. We're not going to sit in our easy chair and tune in. See, we could tune in, couldn't we, to the local congregation. Lean back in your lazy boy. Maybe have a wine and cheese on the side. No. Put forth the effort. Will Jehovah bless that? Yes. So brothers and sisters, here's the point. If you and I can be at the meetings, we should be at the meetings. If we can't be at the meetings, Jehovah will understand. But if we can be at the meetings, we should be at the meetings. How do you hug someone over a telephone? You can't. How do you see a brother's and sister's countenance on the telephone? You can't. Can you see their sadness or their smiles? You can't. But you do at the meetings when you look into our brothers and sisters' faces as they come into the kingdom hall. We can give them a hug or a handshake, whatever is appropriate, and tell them how much we love them and we appreciate their presence. Just like we appreciate, brothers, your efforts to be here today. Jehovah's cognizant of your presence He will bless you for the effort you put forth. Or here's a third area in application of Luke 17, 7 to 10. Preaching to strangers. Now, does that go against our natural inclination? Is that a little bit out of our comfort zone? We get a little bit nervous in the service? Likely we all do. But Jehovah God wants us to slave for Him. And He will bless us. And He's our Heavenly Master. And we love Him. And He tells us that we should do these good things. So, brothers, our love then for one another should always be increasing. It should not be stagnant. And that's what we want to take away from this program today, that our love is at a great level now. We love you for your love, brothers, but don't stand still. Keep growing. It's in harmony with 2 Thessalonians 1:3. Where it says, we're obligated always to give thanks for you, brothers. This is fitting because your faith is growing. Notice, exceedingly. And the love of each and every one of you is increasing toward one another. So he says, our faith is growing exceedingly, and our love toward one another is also increasing. So it's telling us then that our love cannot be stagnant. It must continue to grow. Now, brothers, here's the point too. Jehovah God will never forget the love that you show for Him. How important that is. We think of Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. It's a beautiful passage. God is not unrighteous so as to forget your work and the love you showed for His name by ministering and continuing to minister to the holy ones. So do you notice the scripture, brothers? It's saying that Jehovah would not forget our work. He didn't say He wouldn't forget our position. So it doesn't apply just to elders or ministerial servants or pioneers who have special privileges in the organization. Jehovah says to all of us, men and women, boys and girls, if we're faithful in serving Him, He said, I'll never forget your work. You know, brothers, as time passes, sometimes we even forget the things that we've done. But our Heavenly Father will never forget you. He will never forget your work. And that means whether we're young or whether we're old or whether we're very, very limited because of health issues, Jehovah always keeps in mind our work. Our labors are not in vain. That's in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in connection with the Lord. So brothers, we want to stay close to Jehovah. It's so very, very important. We might think of it that we're glued to Jehovah. We're stuck on Jehovah. Like we might say that to someone that we're falling in love with. I'm stuck on you. See? We want to be close to Jehovah and stay close to Him forever. And that reminds me, I just looked up a little article in the publications that ties in with this. And it was about a little creature that Jehovah made. He's called the acorn barnacle. Do you know anything about the acorn barnacle? You can look that up online too. Make sure you keep those other little pop-ups out. But the little acorn barnacle, he's a small little shell creature that lives in water. And early in his life cycle, he's kind of like a little free moral agent. Can do what he wants, but then he decides to stick maybe onto a rock, he's in the water, or onto a ship. Sailors don't like them because they hold the ship back because it's not a nice smooth surface anymore. So they don't like the little acorn barnacle, but God made them. So at some point in his development, he sticks to a rock or some other obstacle or object, and a tremendous sticking power. Here's some of the little statistics. He makes a little glue that's so strong that a film that's 3/10,000ths of an inch thick. Did you get that now? You got an inch, and you cut that, you slice that inch into 10,000 slices. Pretty thin slices, wouldn't you say? Now his glue is just 3/10,000ths of an inch thick, but it has a sheer strength of 3.5 tons, 7,000 pounds per square inch. That's twice the strength of the latest epoxy glues that's been used in recent years for spacecraft. That glue has stood up to temperatures of 662 degrees Fahrenheit. Doesn't melt at that temperature, so you could put it in your microwave. And it withstood temperatures of 383 degrees below zero without cracking or peeling. Isn't that wonderful? But now, what's the application? And that's what we want to do, isn't it? Stick to Jehovah and stick to each other. Jehovah, think of his organization. Look at our audience today, how varied we are. Backgrounds, languages, races, social groups that we've come out of. Here we are all united in love, and we're all serving the one true God, Jehovah. And what does Colossians 3:14 say about love? See, it's better than the glue of the acorn barnacle. Because Colossians 3:14 says that God's love is a perfect bond of union. It's perfect. So it's better than a barnacle, the little acorn barnacle. Even though it's tremendous, that glue that he secretes. But our love for Jehovah and our brothers is better than that. It's a perfect bond of union. So brothers, just in closing, we're going to look at a passage of scripture that's so rich. It's Romans 8:35-39. It's very touching. 35-39. So when we think of our theme here, this should touch our hearts. We want to love Jehovah with our whole heart. That's what we've learned today, with all our heart. So the question is asked, who will separate us from the love of the Christ? Will anything separate you, brothers, from Jehovah and His Son and the truth? I'm sure it won't. But so he asks some very personal things. He says, will tribulation separate us? Will distress or persecution or hunger or nakedness or danger or sword separate us from the love of the Christ? Will that cause us to leave the truth? He says, just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We've been accounted as sheep for slaughtering. So we know the world hates us, but God loves us. He says, on the contrary, in all these things that he mentioned in verse 35, and the list isn't complete there, in all these things, we are coming off completely victorious. We're winning, he says, through the one who loved us. Remember, we learned this morning, God loved us first. We didn't love him first. He loved us first. Then Paul says under inspiration, I am convinced, we should be too, that neither death nor life nor angels nor governments nor things now here nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other creation will be able to separate us from God's love that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So let's just look at a few of these points and appreciate how powerful this is. The Apostle Paul, you see, brothers, you know what? You know from reading the Bible what he went through. He had a lot of trials, Paul, but he was a happy man. And he has his reward. He was convinced that aside from ourselves, you see, brothers and sisters, we could choose to drift. We could allow ourselves to drift from the truth, or we could draw away from Jehovah. But the point is, apart from ourselves, nothing can separate us from God's love. No, not anyone or anything. Regardless of what humans do, Jehovah's love for his faithful servants is unfailing. How rich that is. So then he says, neither death nor life. Yes, maybe we have some reverses in life. Maybe we have a debilitating accident. Maybe we are facing a terminal illness, economic calamity. But nothing can destroy God's love for us. Jehovah's love for us does not cease when we die. If we're faithful, Jehovah keeps us in his memory, perfect memory. And in due time, he'll stand us up again, alive in his new world of righteousness. And meantime, of course, if we remain loyal and we're living, Jehovah's love for us remains constant. Then he says, angels or governments. Yes, we know that governments can ban us. They can throw us in jail. They can mistreat us. And powerful individuals or authorities or mighty spirit creatures like Satan or the governments, they can't persuade Jehovah to stop loving his faithful worshipers. Then he says, neither things here nor things to come. Unlike the love of a human, which can change or fade in time, God's love for those who keep looking to him in faith is unalterable. It's everlasting. There's nothing that can come upon you and I, brothers, now or in the future that will cause God to stop loving you. Nor powers. No power in heaven and earth can keep Jehovah from reaching out to you. No prison walls can block your prayers. No prison walls can block God's Holy Spirit from reaching you. Then he says, height or depth. God's love for his people is regardless of their circumstances, high or low, wherever we find ourselves. And then he says, nor any other creation. So with these all-inclusive words, Paul is saying that absolutely nothing can separate Jehovah's loyal worshipers from his love. So brothers, what are we going to take home? Well, we're going to take home that we want to keep loving Jehovah with our whole heart. And how have we learned that's possible? By getting to know him better, and that in turn will cause us to love him even more. So now just think back on our day a little bit, brothers. What have we learned today? Well, we started off with 1 John 5 and 3. This is what the love of God means. What did it mean? That we observe his commandments. And we learned that observe meant not the fuzzy feeling of just knowing, but observing, doing what we see or hear. Then we had 1 Peter 4:8, very powerful passage. We were asked there to have intense love for one another. Why? Because love covers a multitude of sins. Now, did you get that point, brothers? If I have trouble forgiving my brothers and sisters, what's that say? It means that I have to increase my love. I have to increase my love. If my love is low, my ability to forgive will be low. And the Bible said we need to love one another intensely, not just generally. And then we had Colossians 3:13, continue putting up with one another, freely forgiving. And why? Just as Jehovah also forgave us. And what kind of a God did we learn Jehovah was this morning, brothers? Our Heavenly Father is ready to forgive. And He forgives in a large way. That's the kind of God we serve. So we've had a wonderful day here. And I might just mention, we've enjoyed this third of the circuit. And maybe you know someone at home that couldn't make it today for some reason. Would you recommend that they maybe try to come tomorrow for the other part of our circuit? Would that be a good idea, do you feel, brothers? So, brothers and sisters, our review question, what does it mean to love Jehovah with the whole heart? We had Exodus 34:14, Amos 5:15, Romans 12:11. We show our wholehearted love for Jehovah by giving Him our exclusive devotion, by hating what is bad, loving what is good, and by willingly slaving for Him and for our brothers. So, brothers and sisters, it's been a pleasure to be here today, and we pray that all of you, that all of us, will be determined to maintain an unbreakable loving attachment to our only loving and true God, Jehovah. May Jehovah bless you to that end.
Thank you, Brother Walker, for that motivating talk, strengthening us to maintain wholehearted love for God. We certainly want to thank you and your wife, Marina, for your encouraging visit to our circuit. Would you like Brother Walker to convey our love and greetings to the Bethel family?